Hey everyone, it's Pastor Eddie from River of Life. Just want to say thank you for joining us on our podcast. Now let's get ready to hear a word from the Lord today. What does God want to speak to our hearts today? So come on, open your Bibles, open your hearts, and let's get into the Word. I'm excited to bring this new series to you this year, maybe all year, amen. I'm excited to bring this. The Lord has spoken and gave a word to our church this year to be the year of the Spirit. That's the emphasis of the Holy Spirit. And now that we've been through missions and Easter, we're going to really hone into that. You know, a week after Jesus rose from the dead, he began to talk about the next big celebration that's coming on the church calendar, and that is the day of Pentecost. That's when the Holy Spirit descended in that upper room and came in like a mighty rushing wind and filled the people, and they were filled with power to go and live this thing called the Christian life. Jesus began to prepare people about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is wanting to be a part of every area of our life. And so we're going to talk about, I'm going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. We have a three-day weekend revival set for Pentecost weekend. So it's 50 days from Easter is Pentecost Sunday. So mark your calendars. It's the weekend before Memorial Day. Be here. Got an awesome preacher. He's new to our church. A great man of God. He's from Ohio, but we're not holding that against him. He's a great brother in the Lord. He's got some fire, man. He's good. He's a good preacher, and I'm delighted to have him on that Empowered by the Spirit weekend. And so we're going to talk about all of that, but first, the Lord put it in my heart to talk about one of the most important foundational truths about the Holy Spirit, and that is the fruit of the Spirit. Six of you are excited. I know you're like, oh, love, joy, peace. I already know them. No. Well, number one, you probably don't know them. Number two, we need them desperately. And you've never heard them preach like this because I titled this series, Are You Ready? Going to tell your neighbor my series. Tell them the proof is in the fruit. The proof is in the fruit. Will you stand with me and open your Bibles over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I'm going to take a couple weeks before we even get to the nine fruit of the Spirit, which there's actually other fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to break it down and talk about it, but I want to build up to it until we get there. Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 43, say, I'm ready if you're there. Say, wait a minute if not. Okay, I'm waiting. Come on. Luke 6. I'm ready to go. Verse 39, it says, and he spoke a parable to him. Now, Jesus tells these three small parables. I'm going to pull principles from all three because they have to do with barren fruit. Jesus says, can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Oh, that's my assignment. Lord, help us to be more like Jesus. If Jesus is our teacher, we need to be more like Jesus, right? A disciple who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove that speck that's in your eye. Let me help you get rid of this in your life when I got something else, a plank in my own eye. Hypocrite. Now, when Jesus said this, he didn't go hypocrite. I believe he was like, hypocrite. He said, first remove the plank from your own eye so that you can see clearly to remove the speck that's in your brother's eye. You can't help nobody unless you got yourself taken care of. You can't help nobody unless you got yourself taken care of. You ever fly in a plane? Oh, I'll get there in a minute. Okay, come on. Keep reading the scripture. Verse 43. This is it. For a good tree, and you may have a translation that says every good tree. That's a more accurate description. Every good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. And a good man or woman out of the good treasure of their heart brings forth good. An evil man comes from their heart. Why is there so much evil in the world? Why is there so much evil? God, why are you getting so much evil? God said, I ain't doing it. It's out of the wickedness of man. It's coming. Where that comes from. Out of a good man treasures of the will spring for evil. Look at the last one. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Oh, I didn't mean what I said. Okay. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say? Wow. See, Jesus, he's, is this your Jesus? He says, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show them like who he is like. He's like a man building a house. Now, you've heard this a couple weeks ago. I used Matthew's teaching, but I want you to see Luke. This is a guy who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the floods arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house, but it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who hears my words and does nothing with them, it's like a man who builds his house without a foundation. And when the storms come, it falls, and great is that fall. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just want to take a couple of weeks talking about the importance today, the importance of fruit. And I'm going to end with the beginning of how to develop it. And next week, really talk about how to develop that fruit in our life. And I'm going to title this message, Where's the Fruit? Father, thank you for your word. We pray that you continue to speak to our hearts and have your way in our lives today, because you have nothing but good for us. Your intentions are 100% pure. To make us more like Christ, no matter what season we're in right now, no matter what it may look like in our lives and from our perspective, help us to remember, God, that you have a plan and we trust in you today and we yield to what you want to do in our life because, again, you're making us more like Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Ask three people, where's the fruit? Then you can be seated. Where's the fruit? Where's the fruit? All right, you ready? We're going to jump right in it. Thank you, Sarah. God bless you. Thank you so much. Where's the fruit? So I got that message. I went back and forth with it. I said, I try to get my message, my main points and everything done by Thursday night, Friday morning, and then the rest of the weekend, I spend meditating and going over it. But Thursday, sometimes I got to do some editing. But Felicia and them guys, they hate when I do that. I'm the pastor, so amen. God gives me something and speaks to my heart. It's going to happen. So I went back and forth with this title. So where's the fruit? So if you were born after one of the greatest decades ever, which is the 80s, where's the fruit? Just sounds like a question. But how many remember there was a famous Wendy's commercial back in the 80s where you had these three grandmothers that drove around. It was a Wendy's commercial, okay? So they drove around to these other fast food hamburger joints and they were looking for beefy hamburgers. And so they went through McDonald's, the commercial would show them, and they'd order their best beefy hamburger, and they'd go through Burger King. And so, and these three grandmothers would then remove the bun, and it would reveal this little fried burnt piece of meat. And I think we got a picture of these three grandmas, and she would say, the one all the way to the left, you're right, where's the beef? Come on, y'all remember that? And then she drives to Wendy's and she asks for a hamburger. And of course, Wendy's has that delicious looking sandwich that we never really get. Anyway, and it comes out and she gets it. And there's the story of that commercial, how where's the beef? As I begin to think about that, I want to get right into this message. I'm telling you, we as what God is really putting on my heart to preach and teach this, not for our church, but for where we are as a society, as the American church, we need to hear this kind of stuff that God is putting in my heart. And I'm excited because I do believe with all of our modern technology today in our churches, and we've got the best talent, we got the best musicians, we got the best gifts, we got the best technology, smokes, mirrors, buildings, coffee shops, and buses that pick people up. There's even a couple churches, park down the street and shuttle you to the church and in a nice air-conditioned van. That is all really, really great. But I want you to know, I believe God in this day that we're living in is looking around going church to church. And he spoke to me and said, Eddie, he's got an awesome church. There's a lot of people there. But where's the fruit? Make sure that you don't get comfortable with a lot of people coming to church and comfortable with a nice building and comfortable with the things that we have. How many know God is a parent? And God wants what is best for us. And he's saying, hey, man, I love what's going on. And man, I see a lot of stuff happening in churches today. And we're good. And we can sing. Oh, we got talent. We can sing the rafters down and back up again. We got great orators standing in the pulpits and can teach and great communicator. But God is interested in fruit. Proof is in the fruit. In our country, and especially our society in America here, we look at talent. We look at talent above character. We look at talent. If you can sing good, if you can play football good, we see this in sports, you know, and I love football, but we see it all the time in professional sports. You'll see a young person that can play, catch a ball, football for instance. Man, he's a tremendous athlete. And he gets this big million-dollar contract, and he's blowed up, man. He's all over social media, man, and he gets that big money. But then he's in the news for domestic violence, for beating up his girlfriend or something crazy because of a moral character. That's a perfect example of how we have just put an emphasis on gifts and not an emphasis on the character. Because a gift can elevate us, a gift can make us look good, and even elevate us to levels that we would never, ever be on our own. A gift is designed to do that. But if we don't have the character, right, to sustain that level, we're going to have a big fall. And major was the fall, Jesus says. We had it here in Detroit, one of our athletes. And I pray for Sutton. I pray for these athletes. I pray for people. That's why many pray to go into ministry. Oh, Lord, when are you going to open up the door? And I thank God that he didn't open the door too quick for me. And you need sometimes to thank God for what he hasn't done in your life today. Because if he would have given us what we want, and as soon as we start praying it, we don't have the fruit, the character to sustain where God wants us to go. Getting quiet already. Come on now. It's more important to God that we bear fruit than it is anything else. God is not interested in all that. I mean, that's all good, but he's looking for fruit. Holy Spirit, let's talk about him for a minute. Holy Spirit, if we look at him as a force or just as a power or force, what we will be tempted to do is want to use the Holy Spirit like a genie or like a some kind of magical formula. But if the Holy Spirit is a person, which the Bible teaches, he is a person, then that means he has an agenda. That means he has a plan. He has a person. He's a person. That means he has an agenda. What's the agenda? And we read, the agenda is to make us more like Christ. So in order to do that, we've got to learn to yield to him and let him have his way in our life. So there's these three parables. I'm going to pull a couple of principles from each of them as we go. May not be in order, but I want you to write some stuff down. The first one, if you notice, whenever Jesus talked about good trees and fruit, and over in John 16 especially, but even in here, he says that every good tree is going to bear good fruit. Everybody say every.
Every.
He has made us, by the way, if you say, well, am I good or not? If you've got God in your life, you're a good tree. But he said, every good tree will bear good fruit. Every bad tree will bear bad fruit. It's what I want you to write down. Number one, every believer is expected to bear good fruit. Every believer. No, that's for pastors. That's not for pastors. That's for missionaries. That's not for, no. I'm talking about every believer. The Bible teaches that every believer, every follower of Christ is expected to bear good fruit. Why? Well, because number one, it's not your fruit. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Look at the scripture in Galatians. We'll be here eventually. We'll get to this. But this is the fruit of the Spirit. In case you're here and you don't know what I'm talking about is fruit, is this guy like really like watermelon and pineapples or what? What's he talking about? Do I need to carry around fruit with me? No. Talking about fruit, and I like to use the word proof for the word fruit. It makes more sense. Watch this. For the proof of the Spirit, the Bible says, the proof of the Spirit is love, is joy. Now, I want you to stop right here. If you are a follower of Christ, if you said yes to Jesus, let me explain something to you. When you say yes to Jesus, Lord, I forgive me of my sins, come into my life, have your way in my life, God. I just want to be a follower of you. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit, he washes away our sins through the blood of Jesus. That's what we celebrated last week. But the Holy Spirit now resides in you, and he goes to work. And he begins to want to develop these nine characteristics of one fruit, because it's not fruits of the Spirit. It's actually fruit of the Spirit. You understand? We're really going to break this down in weeks to come. When he comes into our life, we're going to have at least these nine characteristics in our life. He begins to want to develop love, joy, peace. It's that peace that Nancy was talking about during worship. It's that peace that we have. And sometimes we forget that we have the Holy Spirit in us. I love what she was saying, admonishing us to give it to the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us to keep our mind on God, and his peace will guard our heart. Well, it's hard for God to give us his peace for our heart if we don't have our mind focused on him. That's the peace of God, amen? But love, joy, peace, long-suffering. This is what happens when you become a believer. These attributes begin to be manifested or be formed in your life. Long-suffering, that's patience, that's kindness. Goodness, faithfulness, being faithful. People that weren't, before I got saved, I couldn't hold a job real long. I wouldn't be faithful. I just found reasons to quit. That was just me. And I tried to be faithful and had a wife and two kids, and that motivated me to stick it out a little bit longer. But I had no strength to do these things. You meet loving people. There are kind people. Some people have these as their natural attributes of personalities. But when you get God in your life, all of these are going to begin to manifest in the life of a believer. And I'll show you how to do that. And in self-control, faithfulness and their self-control. It's supposed to be up there. Someone didn't like self-control and threw it right off. Self-control is one of my, I love that one. That one has really been a dominant part of the fruit of the Spirit in my life when I came out of drugs and alcohol and things like that. But I still struggle, especially with ice cream, Melinda reminds me. I don't got all control under self-control. Hallelujah. I got a birthday coming, and I'm getting ice cream cake. That's where it's happening. Amen. But self-control, but we got to learn to yield to the Holy Spirit. So I want you to see that when you become a believer, the Spirit of God begins to go to work in us and produce these fruits in us. So that's why he expects them in us. Notice these are not fruits of the person. These are fruits of the Spirit. You cannot produce these fruits on the level God wants you to in your own effort. I don't have them kind of patience. I don't always have self-control. Come on, somebody. As Paul said, in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Oh, come on, there's a scripture verse for somebody today. I don't have these in myself. I try, but I don't have them. But if I learn to lean in on the Holy Spirit, he says, are you done? Let me take over. Let me show you how to love when you don't want to love that person. Let me show you how to have self-control when you failed so many other times. Ooh, that's good. Yes, good. You see that? That's why it says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. These things begin to come to light in our lives. So that's why he expects us to have these fruit, because it's him who is giving us the ability to have these fruit in our life. He's not asking us to do something that we don't have the ability to do. Because then he would be unjust. He would be popping a balloon. But he says, no, I expect, that's why Jesus said, every good tree is going to produce good fruit. Because I've given you the good Spirit. Not in yourself, I've given you my Spirit. And that's the first thing I want to talk about the gifts. So we're going to get there in a minute. But the fruit is so important. We are expected to bear good fruit. Look at this verse, John 15. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Isn't that powerful right there? He says, you didn't choose me. I know you came to church. Someone invited you to church. You heard a sermon, and you said, "I choose Jesus." That's only partial true. That's only half true. I actually set the whole thing up. I set the whole thing up. I set the person up that told you about Jesus, that saved your parents. That's why you're here today. Or you're the first. I mean, he has chosen you. But watch this. I've chosen you, and I've appointed you or ordained you. Watch this. I've ordained you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. Anybody else expecting something bigger than that? I've chosen you and I've ordained you. How many know everyone here is ordained? Now, I'm an ordained minister with the Assemblies of God. I had to go through a lot of Bible school testing and ups and downs and all of that and had to study. I got a little card and all of that stuff. Amen. But do you know that before I got the ordination card from the Assemblies of God, that the moment I said yes to Jesus, I became an ordained follower of God? Guess what? So did you. If you were with us on Wednesday night, I'm teaching out of Romans, and the Bible says in Romans that we are all called to be saints. Tell the person next to you, you are sitting next to a saint. Yeah. Oh, I thought that was some. Oh, yes, religious. Stained glass. We don't have no stained glass windows with your picture in it. You might. Because of God is in you and you're called to be a saint. Jesus says, I've saved you. I've chosen you out of a family and out of a people. I've called you. That's why you're here today. So that you would bear fruit. I've propped you up. I've placed you in that family. I've placed you in that church. I've placed this church in this community. So we don't just be a pretty building with flags and good coffee. He said, I want you to be a church that has the fruits of the Holy Spirit. When people drive by, they go, I gotta go in and see what's going on. I feel compelled. I feel drawn. What's going on in that church? Hey, guess what? When people get around you, God says, I want them to look at your life and go, man, I know you ain't perfect. I know you ain't perfect, but man, how did you make it through everything you've been through? And you still got love. You still got joy. How do you got joy? How can you be Job and still have joy? Because I have the Spirit of Almighty God. I might have to take this jacket off today. Amen. How do you go through a storm and you still have peace? How do you go through that? You see the world? The world's falling apart, Pastor Eddie. We had an earthquake. We got an eclipse coming tomorrow. It's the sign of Jonah. You get on YouTube, you're going to get scared to death. I'm going to give me some sunglasses and watch it. Give me some popcorn. That's going to be the sweetest thing ever. I ain't worried. Because I got some fruit. I got Jesus in my life. Jesus said, when you see this kind of stuff happening, don't be alarmed. It's like a pregnant woman with labor pains. It's just a labor pain. It's just letting us be reminded that this world ain't going to be here forever. And one day Jesus is going to part that eastern sky. He's going to step out with his angels and he's going to say, hey, it's time to come up here and be with me. Woo! I got excited on that one. Well, I don't believe it. Keep your glasses and watch that thing. You're going to be here for a long time, brother. And then I'm telling you, read Revelations. It's like Lord of the Rings going to come up out of this ground. So I'm not nervous. Jesus could come tomorrow. He could come today. I pray that he don't, but my life, he could call my number today. The Bible says that no one is promised tomorrow. The Bible says your life is like a vapor of smoke. It's here one moment and gone a minute. Like a vape. It's like here one moment. Some of you are like, hey, I got a vape. No. Don't need no illustration. James says your life is short. And we make so much out of this little 70, 80, 90 years. I got. Man, oh, like that. Jesus, help me. You're called to bear fruit. That's the main purpose of a fruit tree is to bear fruit. It has other purposes. It has shade. It provides shade. My mom and dad, we had a peach tree growing up in Ecorse. Yes. And people try to jump on the fence. Dad, get that BB gun out. No, I'm just kidding. Shotgun. Hey, E-Town, baby. Anyway. And there was one thing that why we kept that tree in the yard until Mama cut it down, was to produce peaches. It gave shade. It was beautiful to look at. It gave a home for birds. And we got a lot of other purposes as followers of Christ, and you're going to discover them. But I want you to hear this point before we move on. Is your number one purpose, why he saved you, is for you and I to bear fruit. Proof that the Holy Spirit is living in us. Why? Why is such a big deal? Because fruit brings glory to God. It brings glory to God. It attracts other people, just like that peach tree would attract bees and people, and people that were interested in it. We had a cherry tree, and man, them birds beat me to it every spring, every summer, man, because I love cherries. And I mean, it draws people. Fruit trees draw people. That's their purpose. The Bible says that when we are fruitful Christians, when we may not have all nine of these to the place where they need to be, because you're going to learn. It takes time, and there's a process. And we're going to teach that. I'm going to show you how to do it, especially next week. Do not miss next week. And those of you that's been serving the Lord for a while, you think you know how to bear fruit, like I thought. You're going to listen. You're going to be surprised. The scripture is so clear. And in our American world, we have lost this ability to slow down and make sure we are producing the fruit. But the fruit needs to be, that's the number one reason. It brings glory to God. What is glory? And it means to magnify. What does magnify do? Magnify is when you make something small, bigger, right? A magnifying glass. When you drop something, you use a magnifying glass. Well, we are to live our lives. Fruit is so that people can see God in us real easy. We're walking around just a little grape sticking out of our shirt. People ain't gonna tell we got fruit, but we should be having fruit. And Jesus said, your fruit would remain. I want fresh, long-lasting fruit. I don't care how long you've been in church. That's not what he said. How much fruit you got? That's the purpose of fruit. It brings glory to God. And he wants us to have fruit so bad that Jesus even said this in John 15. Are you ready? He says, every. Jesus is so one way or the other. He's dogmatic in his teachings. You heard the paradoxes last week, but another part and style of Jesus' teaching is he was very dogmatic. He was very, you are either with me or you're against me. Right. It's like you're either pregnant or not pregnant. You can't be kind of pregnant. No more than you can be kind of saved. You are either yes to Jesus or no to Jesus. So he's very, very dogmatic. And he says, every tree that does not bear fruit, every branch that is in me that does not bear fruit. So it is possible to be connected to him and not be bearing the fruit we're supposed to. He takes it away. Watch this. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Joyce Meyer used to say, you're pruned if you do, you're pruned if you don't. Because God is so adamant that we are bearing fruit. Can I tell you that God will prune his church? I believe a lot of the things we are seeing today is crazy that he's pruning, he's doing some house cleaning. He says that in the scripture that judgment begins at the house of the Lord. And you know, he gives us time. You'll see this in a few minutes, but here comes a time when he's like, listen, I need you to bear fruit. That's why I've given you everything that you have to bear fruit. He'll prune his church. And listen, he'll prune your life. He will prune our life. He will prune and remove some people from your circle. I'm going to tell you. What he'll do is he'll encourage you and show you some things. As I'm going into the second point, he'll show you some things because he's wanting you to do some pruning so you can bear more fruit. Because some of us would be more on fire for God and bear more fruit in our life if we would simply let God prune some of the folks in our circle. And that don't mean you got to say, I hate you, you're an enemy. It's like, no, hey. I got to have you from a BFF to an acquaintance. Right. Come on. Come Because the season of life of that God is bringing me in, I got to get close to the Lord. I had to do this at 25 years old, man, and it was tough. My brothers and friends and family were like, were everything to me. And I got saved, and God began to pull me deeper with Him. And I knew I couldn't live for God like this. I couldn't. One foot in the world and one foot in the church. I could not do that. Some do it, and they slowly get in. I'll get to that in a second. Let God have His way. Okay, God. Pray for Him because God's wanting us to bear more fruit. So this teaches us point number two. Every believer is called to examine fruit. We're expected to bear fruit. We're expected to bear good fruit. But we're also, Jesus made it a point. He said, hey, you guys got to learn to examine fruit. We got to be fruit inspectors. Oh, it's about time I get a message I can get behind. I need to inspect some people's fruit in their life. That's what God's called me to do. Hallelujah. Got the spirit of discernment. No, you're just judgy. You're carnal. You're very jealous, very touchy. That's not discernment. Colossians tells us that discernment has its root and foundation in love. Are you able? Jesus brought harsh judgment to the religious people, but He was also willing to die for those people. So discernment sometimes is something that we come across as very religious and self-righteous. We all fall into that. That's bad fruit. So this is why we got to be fruit examiners. But it first must start with us examining the fruit in our life. Jesus said it. He said first in Luke 6, first remove the plank from your own eye. And then you will be able to see clearly to remove the speck that's in your brother's eye. So He tells us when we got some bad fruit going on in our life, it will actually distort how we see other people's fruit. Did I read that right? He said, we got a plank in our eye, and we're complaining that they got that little speck in their eye. Jesus says, your judgment is off, and it's not because of any other reason, but because you got something in your life you got to take care of. You ever fly in a plane, and the stewardess comes on, and everybody tunes out and gets on your phone? But when the stewardess, if you pay attention, what do they always tell you if you're going to go for this flight? They get that little mask out and they tell you, in case of an emergency, or my favorite, a water landing. A water landing. You're going to crash in the sea, brother. That's what they're talking about. Ain't no skis coming out that plane. Okay, anyway. In that event, even mama and daddy, if you're sitting next to your kid, they tell you, don't put that mask on that kid. If you're in an emergency, you got to put that mask on yourself. Because if you aren't healthy, you're not going to be able to rescue anybody else. You don't even know, but that's anointed. That's exactly what Jesus is saying here. He says, ladies and gentlemen, followers of me, I need you to stop for a moment because it's so easy to point that finger at other people, ain't it? It feels good too. Look at that. We love that. We got that face. Look at them. Jesus says, hold up, what about you? You know, Michael Jackson had that right. Okay. That's bad fruit, Michael Jackson. I'm starting with the man in the mirror, right? That's okay, you get it. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you got to look at that mirror. James says, if any man looks into a mirror and then walks away and forgets what he just saw in a mirror, he's a man that is religious and deceives himself. That's harsh, I know, but Jesus is saying, stick with me. This may be hard. I know this ain't real excited, jump up and down, running through the church kind of message, talking about pruning and all of that. But I'm telling you, at the end of the day, if we allow God to have His way in our life, you'll start seeing these gifts. How many wives would love for your husband to be filled with love, joy, peace, long suffering? How many husbands would love your wife to be filled with love, joy, peace, long suffering? How many singles would love to find somebody filled with love, joy, peace? How many married people? How many, that's it. That's the end of the illustrations. See, so Jesus is the answer to everything we need. He's it. He says, first remove it. We got to know that because sometimes in churches we talk so much. about doing stuff. We talk so much. I'm going to read that. I'm going to get in. I'm going to read my devotions. I'm going to get into that. I'm going to join that team. I'm going to go on that missions trip. I'm going to lose weight. We are talkers. We sometimes talk too much. And God is saying, that's a lot of talk. Where's the fruit? We got the clothes. We got the bracelets. We got all of these things going on in our life. But God is saying, examine ourselves. Oh, I can speak in tongues. Well, can you control your tongue? That's how the Lord hit me. Oh, I got the power of this and that. Well, yeah, well how about your fruit? How well do you take correction? How well do you work on a team? How well do you treat other people? But I can prophesy. I hear the Spirit. And we come up with stuff. I'm like, man, if God is going to say anything to me, I think according to the word, he's going to speak to something to me first. I know we're all flawed and we're all in the process, but Pentecostals, we need to be reminded of this. So we get caught up in our gifts. I'm going to get my gifts and go to that church. If they don't use me, I'm going to leave. I'm going to blast them on Facebook. What? You ever hear the saying, tip the cup and find out what's in it? You could be loaded with gifts, brother, loaded with gifts. But if God's saying, where's the fruit? I'm looking for the fruit of our lives to sustain those gifts. When I want people to pray for me, man, you know, when our marriage, we got saved, Melinda and I, and we were just saved, and our marriage was in a rough spot because of my life and my all this crazy stuff. We're trying to just make it work. We started finding ourselves sitting under people that had a healthy marriage. Why would we take marital advice from somebody that's been divorced 5 times and that is single? I mean, you can if you want. We don't take our car to a McDonald's when it's broken down. That stupid McDonald's didn't even fix my radiator. I mean, it's like, whoa. No, you take it to a mechanic. Right? You want to get in shape, you see Brother Tomas. He's a professional trainer, Earl of Don. He's going to work you hard. You know, we know this, but when it comes to the things we want God to use us, I got this gift, brother. I got this gift. Yeah, you might. There might be a mechanic somewhere in McDonald's, but he hasn't got to the place where he's placed in the right in place and on staff and training and got the tools and he's ready. He may not be ready to work on your car. Find this out the fast way. I remember sitting under mom and dad, been married at that time 30 years. I think that's a pretty good place to be. Find somebody that's made it through the ups and downs. And that's what Jesus is saying. I got to get you to remove that plank. I got you to examine the fruit in your own life because I need you so bad to help with other people. The Lord asked me one time. He said, how well do you worship? If everyone worshiped me like you worship me, Eddie, how much worship would I get? If everybody gave like you gave, Eddie, what would the church look like in the missions? If everybody, I mean, that's just me how God, the Lord, because I was saying, God, I want to grow. I don't know the fruits of the Spirit. I want to be challenged. I want you to go deep. And the Lord says, you want me to go deep? And it wasn't out here. It wasn't in this deep Hebrew and Aramaic. I need to know the Aramaic. God said, I just need you to tithe. I don't need you to know the Greek word of forgiveness. I need you to do it. I need you to understand what repentance means. Come on, somebody. Help us today. This is what the Lord is wanting us to do. So we need to learn to, once we know what fruit looks like, now we're ready to examine the fruit of other people that might want to speak into our life and might want to open ourselves up to letting them mentor us or whatever. Because Jesus did teach this in Matthew 6. He said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. He says, you're going to know them by their gifts. You're going to know them by how well they can speak and preach and dance. And you'll know them by their fruits. So once we know what fruit's supposed to look like, and you guys bring that, bring my fruit. Bring out some fruit. How many love fruit? Fresh fruit. Fresh fruit. It is something that God desires, and it's something that is good for us as well. You can just put it right here. Once we know what fruit looks like in our life, thank you guys. You can take this one. All right. I don't know where the cameras are. Once we know what fruit looks like because we have it in our lives, once the speck is out of our eye, Jesus says we need to also be able to, we should be examining fruit before we get into that relationships. Come on, singles people. Oh, but man, he looks so good. I got that good cologne on. I know. They're involved in church. You're going to learn next week there's a difference between works and fruit. Once we know what fruit looks like, now we'll be able to spot it. I think this is the problem in America. We don't even know what real fruit is. But they got a lot of followers on YouTube, so they must be right. So let me just ask you right here. We got real and fake fruit. I want you to, from where you're sitting, I want you to be able, if you can tell me, which one is real fruit and which one is fake fruit? Which one of these cameras, the red dot? Okay, zoom in. Zoom in. Gotta be faster than that. Zoom in. Yeah, okay. How many think this is real? This is the real fruit? Okay, all the ones close. How many think this is the real fruit? Oh. Here's the thing. They both have real fruit and fake fruit. Because everybody does what you just did. They think the false fruit and the false prophets and the wolves are all by themselves with a sign that says, I'm the devil. Jesus said, there are wolves in sheep's clothing. There's not a false church down the street. Oh, they got a cross. It's so nice. They got a pretty rainbow flag. They must be in the Noah's Ark. I love that church. Wake us up. Wake us up. Come, someone say, preach, Eddie. Come on, preach. Come on. What Jesus is saying is that in the last days we're living, there's going to be wolves in sheep's clothing. There's going to be fake fruit with the real fruit. And so if you look in here, I got fake fruit and real fruit. So really how I can tell is once I remove and get fruit all by itself. When we get people, when we are by ourselves, we are not, it's easy to misjudge and miss it when they're mixed in and we're at a distance. But Jesus says, I want you to examine. I need you to get a little bit close. We need to look a little closer to people who are speaking into our life. We need to learn to look a little closer to people wanting to get in our circles. And I know this is like, whoa, that's a heavy pastor. This is what's going to save our lives. Because he says they're ravenous wolves. How many know the devil ain't playing? Jesus said, I come to give you life. And we love that scripture. But he says, the enemy come to steal, kill, and destroy. He don't play mercy. He don't play mercy. He wants to get you so either offended, confused, distracted, tangled up in some kind of sin, something, so that you're totally pulled away. And sometimes he'll use this. But when you examine fruit, when you get fruit by itself, when you pull it away off to the side, and you start saying, wait a minute, I gotta see, I gotta examine. Oh, this is good fruit. This apple does look good. Then we're able to get into it a little bit more. Because you know why? You can't fake fruit. Not long. You get close enough. Real fruit, they're going to have fruit flies to be coming. You're going to be having critters coming because they're attracted to life. And that's part of the, you know, people that say, I have no fruit flies, I have no devil, ain't bothering me. Well, I'm in church, man. Why y'all keep talking about I'm in a storm? I ain't in no storm. Start saying, Jesus, have your way in my life. You want to be led by the Spirit? Who do I need to forgive, Lord? Who do I need to apologize to? Make it right. Because I don't want to be no plastic Christian. Oh, we look good for a long time, but you look the same for a long time. Been in church 20 years. Come on, I know. Come on, y'all love me. I know Easter was awesome last week, wasn't it? Y'all have your hand. We're ready to go. Now, it's time to get real, people. Remember, eclipse is tomorrow. throwing a little humor in there, but some of us been in church for 20 years, man. Some of us been in church. It's time to start bearing some fruit. So how do you do this? And what is it about fruit? And this was the last point, but and that is every person is exposed by their fruits. And just why Jesus, you know, a fruit will tell you exactly what's going on. And I used to say all the time before I got saved, and I would have people that would tell me about Jesus, and my favorite saying was, well, God knows my heart. I only knew two scriptures, do not judge, and God knows my heart. Which I never finished that verse that says God knows my heart, because it says your heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? But I would say, God knows my heart. And what I meant, I had good intentions somewhere in there. I mean, every time I was in jail, I would pray. Every time I got really messed up, I would, God, get me out of this one. And many times he would. And I would tell people, well, God knows my heart. But then I realized that, you know, you don't have to drill in the center of a fruit tree to look at its heart to see if it's good. You just back up and look at its fruits. And God said, yeah, I know your heart, Eddie, but you don't see the same thing I see. I need you to realize that so I can heal you and let you produce good fruit. And so let me in. I know the clock is of the devil. Now let me share with you how this message started with just this one point. I begin to look and I begin to ask myself, okay, God, how do I tell people, how do you develop good fruit that lasts? And yeah, I'll dive into it next week even more, but I want to end with this right here. This is the first start of how you begin to develop good fruit in your life. I begin to look at the next parable where Jesus said in verse 48, he is like a man building a house who dug deep. And that word dug deep jumped off the page. And I remember reading this years ago about digging deep, about the foundation. And I said, dig deep, wait a minute. And then I went over to Luke 13, put this on the screen. Jesus, again, teaching about being fruitful and being a tree. He said, a certain man had a fig tree and he planted it in his vineyard. And he came looking for fruit on it and he found none. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, where's the fruit? It's in the right vineyard. I didn't plant it out in the alley. It's in the right place. He said, where's the fruit? For 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this tree. And I come and there's still no fruit. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he said to him, sir, leave it alone for one more year. This is what I pray. Oh God, I know the American church, Lord, I know we're not perfect. And I believe God has given us a season of grace and he will give us time. He will. This is a parable of grace where he says, okay, this is what I want you to do. He says, I'll leave it alone. He says, leave it alone. Watch this. Until I dig around it, until I dig. Until I dig, until I dig. I'm gonna dig deep. I'm gonna dig all around it. I'm gonna fertilize it. I'm gonna make sure that those roots go deep. And the Lord told me this, the deeper the roots, the greater the fruit. He said, if you're building a house, you need to go dig deep. He says, dig deep for the foundation. The reason why many of us don't bear the fruit that God wants us to is because we've gotten so shallow in the American church. We've gotten so shallow. In my life, I get so shallow. I say, God, forgive me of my shallowness. Can I ask you something? How deep does Jesus run in your life? This is the first step in repentance. That's why repentance is always preached. John the Baptist, repent and bear fruit worthy of repentance. I mean, fruit and repentance are throughout the New Testament. Why? Because that's the first dig that God wants to do in our life. And that's how we dig deeper in God, as we constantly live in repentance and we constantly let him dig, let his roots go deep down into our life. How deep does the roots of Jesus go in our life, church? Is his roots... Does his roots go into our attitudes? Do we let his roots go into our money? Do we allow his roots to go into our relationship? This is it right here. No root, no fruit. We need to be planted. Not church attendance. That's part of the fruit. Being planted in him. Being planted in him. And then let the fruits begin to flourish out of our bodies, out of our lives. I think I'm done preaching. Let this be a year. You say, you're the Spirit? Absolutely. But let's be not looking for whatever you may think the Holy Spirit. I know he's known for these power gifts, and we're going to get to them, and we need to walk in power. But man, I'm telling you, the fruit is everything that God is looking for. Nowhere in here did he say, I'm looking for gifts. Gifts are given. You're going to learn this next week, but fruits are birthed. I know it's a process, but how many is willing this year to let God go deep, let them roots go deep? Go deep, go deep, go deep. So we're quick to forgive. We're quick to repent. We're quick. We don't need four songs before we lift one arm up, you know, and worship. We're worshiping on Monday. One guy told me, he said, you know, I don't believe in Jesus. And I said, what year is it? He said, 2024. I said, 2024 after what? He said, AD. I said, everything we know revolves around the birth and this man and death of Jesus Christ. He said, what do you guys worship on Sunday? The Bible says worship on Saturday. I said, I worship on Saturday. I worship on Friday. I worship on Thursday. I worship on Wednesday. I worship on Tuesday. I worship on Monday. And I really worship on Sunday. But this guy, come on, can we stand to our feet? Next week, man, I'm going to really show you how we need to concentrate on the root and loving Jesus and spending time with him and all of that's good stuff. But today is digging up that ground. You're expected to bear good fruit because the Spirit of God lives in you. Some of you really need to listen to that examination of the fruit thing. You've let some things, you need to examine your life. You let some bad fruit begin to pop back out on that vine. This message is to say, hey, it's time to, you're going to get pruned. I've learned to prune myself so God don't prune me. Some of us, we need to know our fruits expose us. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word today. Can we just reflect on this word right now in this moment? Lord, you want us to bear fruit. God, we got so much going on in our life. How do we bear fruit? We're a single mom, single dad. We got two little ones, three little ones, a new job, a new career. Oh my gosh, Lord, I'm on spring break, but school's right around the corner. I don't know what I'm doing. I got so much going on in my life. God says, listen, you got a lot going on, but there's only one thing that I want you to focus on. I want you to focus on me. Yield yourself to me so I can begin to bear fruit in your life. And everything else will fall in place. If you're here today, just bow your heads. If you're here today and you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't know a whole lot about this fruit stuff, but you got to say, you know what? I got to get planted into God. I need to say yes to Jesus. And if you're here and you need to say yes to Jesus, I want to pray for you today. We do this every week. Will you just lift your hand where you are? Pray for me today, Pastor Eddie. I'm ready to give my life to Jesus Christ. Amen. All the way in the back. God bless you. Anyone else? Pray for me today. I need to say yes to Jesus. Anyone else today? Lift that hand up. Let me see you. If that's you, lift my hand to Jesus. Amen. You can put him down. Those of you that are at home, pray for me today. I need to accept Christ. Amen. Amen. Put your name in the chat. We're going to pray for you. Hallelujah. How many would say, Pastor Eddie, I need to let the roots go deeper. I need to let God go deeper in my life. My hand's up. My hand's up. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor in the path of the sinner. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it he meditates both day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of life, and he shall bring forth fruit in its season, and his leaf shall not wither. But I gotta get planted. I gotta get planted next to that source of river. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm gonna call our altar team up. We're gonna sing like we always do. I'm gonna allow you to come, and if you need prayer, I wanna encourage you to come.
Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people, and you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.